Ah, yes. The boys are back in town. Thin Lizzy, part of a Throw It Up There Thursday. I'm Dave Carney, and this other boy is John Denton, the John Denton Special. It's been cooking this morning. John, top of the morning. It's been a couple of days since we spoke. How's everything been in your world? You've got some congratulations that we need to throw out there to you, don't we?
No, let's wait till next week. But
okay.
there's been a free agent possibility move in my world. So yeah, we'll celebrate it next week once it becomes dry on the dotted line.
Well, okay, that's fair. But I know you, and I'm just gonna say it anyways. Congrats, man! Can't wait to hear all the big news, which will be really exciting. John, we have gone 7-2 over the last 2 weeks in the John Denton Special. And for those that are new to the program, every Thursday, our sports betting insider, John Denton, who played his college quarterback at UNLV and spent time in Canada, the NFL, the Arena Football League, every Thursday, we look at college, NFL football, or really and truly whatever it is that John's got his eyes focused on, and we deliver to you a John Denton Special in the Rockies Daily Play. So, John, 7-2 over our last couple of weeks, 2-1 this last week, 5-1 the week before. You've got a number of plays ready for this weekend. Let's just jump right in. Where are you taking us first, man?
Yeah, so I think what might be, let me set this thing up here, is that I've got a couple trends and analysis that I'd like to throw in real quick for the college football season. And it
sounds good.
Has everything, you know, it has, and then I'll get into a couple picks, but this system involves home favorites, right? So what we did, and again, this is all information that is supplied by people that you and I follow at Wager Talk, right? It's free info anyone can use. It's right on their YouTube channel. You don't even have to subscribe. All you do is hit play. These folks are giving out gems of information that, again, combined with current form research of these teams, right, you can get a decent lean on some of the outcomes of these sporting events, I think. So there's a couple systems, man, Dave, this week that are really, really just blasting a couple games to me. And
love it.
Home favorites. Okay, I'll give you this. Home favorites that are off a poor offensive game, meaning they scored 9 points or less last week, they are 63% against the spread the following weeks. So two teams that fit that, Virginia Tech and Wyoming. I'm not on Wyoming. I am on Virginia Tech, -3 against Syracuse. I think it's a great spot for them. They have a 62% system advantage here. Again, team that scored less than 9 points last week, and they're a home favorite this week, usually respond well. On the flip side of that, teams off a great offensive game that have scored over 50 points last game that are now a home favorite, get this, 44% against the spread. Not very good the week after.
Let me ask you
one team.
Let me ask you why that might be, John, just for purposes of clarity and for those that wouldn't maybe necessarily pick this up. When you see a team score a bunch of points and they really go way over their projection, are you paying a tax on them the next week because odds makers are figuring that the public is going to be on those teams? Is that one of the reasons those numbers get built up a bit?
Yes, it's current. Again, it's current public form, right? Who's hot, who's going to be bet on, right? When they look at even at the South Point Casino, they have a sheet out every week that has, you can bet on the highest scoring college football team. So you look at the sheet and it has every team, there's odds of, you know, who's going to score the highest points. So the last week they look at, Texas or Georgia State or whoever. Well, I think it's Georgia State this week that's in this system that you fade Georgia State. They scored 50-something points last week, and usually you're paying a tax, but then the team that's coming in is usually on a slump, right? So they're a high point favorite, and you're getting Texas State this time at +10.5, I think, or +11, and that fits the 66% reverse against the spread situation. So they're my second team. Virginia Tech was my first team.
I like that.
Texas State is my second team. Again, I'm getting a 66%, and that's over 700 games in sample size right there. So it's not like it happened the last couple years or there's a COVID year in there. No, this
right.
is over since 2005. So you've got a very good sample size. So
yeah, that's a very good sample size to have. As a matter of fact, when you're looking at 700 plus matchups over 16 years, you've got something there. I like this.
Yeah. So my other pick and my last pick is, again, I was on NC State last week. They head down to Miami this week. And again, both teams averaging 33, 34 points a game. NC State just came off a 50-point blowout, or I think it was 53-3 against Boston College. This total is only at 53. So, one, it kind of shocked me a little bit, but it's trending upwards, meaning other sharps or other people are betting on this game. And, like, again, all we need is Miami to score a few touchdowns. I think NC State's going to come in and score some points themselves. I like NC State, Miami over 53.
All right, so let me ask your thoughts on this. John Denton, our sports betting insider, joining us and giving us some really great stuff here. The information, by the way, that John's talking about will be available for you to digest on your own this afternoon, 1 o'clock at WKTYSports.com. Weather is a factor as well, right? You've got some of your statistics and analysts analytics, looking at weather being a factor too, John. What about weather is the biggest factor? Is it cold? Is it snow? Is it rain? What about weather is the biggest factor in some of the research that you've done?
Believe it or not, it's wind.
Okay.
Yeah, the wind is the most telling weather predictor for an over and under for the total, right? So what they did is, again, this stuff is thanks to the guys over at Wager Talk, guys and gals over at Wager Talk.
Yeah.
Since 2012. Right, if the wind is 15 miles an hour or above, right, 58% to the under. So almost 6 out of 10 games will hit the under if the wind is blowing at 15 miles an hour or above. And then they even break it down even more to go, in September, it's 59% to the under. In October, it's 56%. November, it's 58%. And then when you get to December, cold weather game, if you're at 15 miles an hour above, it's 61% to the under.
Wow.
So again, looking for those situations where there might be kind of a higher total than normal in those late October, late November games is another key statistic too.
Yeah, I like this a lot, John. I really do. And I was curious, what would be the biggest weather factor? Wind, as you're mentioning, being the one that most affects that total. Let me ask you, as a quarterback, what was the windiest game you played in? And the second part of that question, how did that wind affect your throwing, if at all?
Well, it was at, believe it or not, it was up in Wyoming.
And, oh, I believe it.
So it was my sophomore year. We're at Wyoming, and I mean, it was a good steady 20 mile an hour across the field wind. So it never really got behind you, and it never was really in your face, right? I could always dial it in if it was in my face or kind of behind my back. But coming across right to left, man, and I'm a right-handed quarterback that had a love for baseball too, so I had to kind of, those balls were coming in kind of that sinking slider a couple times, man. It just took me a little bit to get used to, but that was the toughest game I've ever thrown in the wind.
Yeah, I guess that's got to be a real big factor. I'm just curious, as you get into the upper levels, right, the NFL especially, we'll just say when you get to the NFL, D1 and NFL, just the step away, but when you get to the NFL, is there ever a time, John, in which your arm strength can be such that it can actually it can actually cut through some of the most biting wind? And if so, what are one or two examples that you've seen? I remember Dan Marino, I mean, whipping some balls through some torrential rain in Miami. What are some things that you can recall of guys being able to, like, overpower that wind? It takes a really strong arm to be able to do that, I would imagine.
Yeah, it takes, again, the wind, the Mother Nature is going to win every time, in most cases, but Brett Favre to me was a guy that I watched and was not an understudy, but I loved just watching his film and the way he threw on the run. And he was a guy that could cut through the wind pretty good in some of the stuff that I remember.
Yeah, you know who couldn't? Peyton Manning. That guy needed an indoor environment. I tell you what, Peyton Manning might be the smartest quarterback to ever play the game. I mean that. Like, he saw the field like nobody else did. John, he threw one of the wobbliest balls that I have ever seen come out of the hands of a Hall of Fame quarterback. But, man, he got it where it needed to be, and it was what it was. And, again, he played most of his games, at least at home, inside of a dome. And then Denver, that's a bit different. The mile-high air helps the ball travel a bit, and that's why Peyton threw, what, 5,500 yards that first season with Denver. John,
right.
if we could just look ahead a bit here, week 7 in the NFL, we've got Thursday night football tonight. We'll pregame Thursday night football together as a collective, 5:30 to 7 at the La Crosse Beer House. Hope to see you guys there. The Cleveland Browns are going to be starting their 31st quarterback since 1999. Case Keenum is going to be starting tonight for the Cleveland Browns, the 31st starting QB for Cleveland since 99. The Broncos will be starting Teddy Bridgewater. He missed that one game, he got banged up, but he came back last week against Pittsburgh, or the Raiders, I should say, when they lost to the Raiders. What are your thoughts about this? Because, look, the Browns started off 3-0. They've lost 3 in a row. The Broncos started off, I think, 3-0 as well, and they've lost 3 in a row. How do you look at tonight's game? Do you have any betting interest in this one?
Not as soon as Baker went out. I think the line was 3.5, and now it's all the way down to 2, maybe 1.5. I haven't even looked at the line. I really don't have any interest in it. And again, I'm not a big Browns bettor. They're just they're too up and down for me. And I've got a really good friend who's a diehard Cleveland Browns fan, and he won't even return my text this week.
Really?
They're just down.
No, John.
Already, man. I don't even want to talk about it right now. So. But again, Baker started 51 or 52 straight games. You know, I guarantee you if this game was on a Sunday, Baker's probably starting. So I, and maybe not 100%, but again, I still think a 75-80% Baker is better than 100% Keenum.
You know,
I just don't think they wanted to lose him fully for the season and have to fully rely on a Case Keenum or have to go to the free agent market. I just think they're just playing it safe.
You know, I'm not entirely sure, talking to John Denton here this morning on the Stone Distribution Talking Text Line, I'm not entirely sure that Baker Mayfield's that much better than Case Keenum. And one of the things that I've thought about with this Case Keenum situation tonight against Denver is this. Kevin Stefanski with the Minnesota Vikings famously nearly got to a Super Bowl with Case Keenum as his quarterback. Viking fans... Well, I think they made the right call to go out and get Kirk Cousins. Viking fans were a bit split on Case Keenum being let go. Now, look, Case Keenum, he is what he is. But what if, John, just what if the Cleveland Browns, who have really not done much in the passing attack this year, they've been a run attack, a heavy run attack this year. What if Cleveland, like, explodes and all of a sudden Case Keenum is whipping that ball around like he did at Houston? I mean, Case Keenum's got the most yards in college football history. What if he starts whipping it around and the Browns win and they win big? Is there any possibility they decide to stay with Case Keenum?
Oh, absolutely, there's a possibility. And again, it's all telling because they've been non-committal to Baker's future here with an extension or with, you know, all that talk about extending Baker, is he on that elite level to get that next level extension? And you know, they haven't gotten there yet. And again, this might be one of those outs for them where if Case Keenum comes in and plays well, then hey, you know, we're kind of off the hook type stuff a little bit where it's easier for us to walk away if we do make that decision.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to me because Cleveland, I mean, they've got a lot of things going for them. I mean, you look at that defense, say, okay, you look at that offensive line, and I think Pro Football Focus has them graded within the top 10. I mean, there's a lot to like about the Browns. I'm just not sure that Baker ultimately long-term is going to be their guy, but they might not have another choice. If Keenum blows up, maybe. Before we let you go, just final thought here, Raiders hosting the Eagles. I was surprised. I really was. The Raiders, they showed out against Denver on Sunday. I know that John Gruden and the situation that he left the Raiders with isn't enviable, but Derek Carr, I mean, this guy is playing as good as he has ever played. The Raiders, they look like they are in it for each other now. If for nobody else, they're in it for each other. They're a 3-point home favorite against Philly. John, I look at this spot and I see the Raiders covering easy. Why might that not be the case? Do you think that Las Vegas can continue to win, or is Philly in line here for a bit of a beat?
No, I think I agree with you 100%. I think the Raiders, there's a different vibe that you can tell from the videos and the social media stuff that I follow, just because I'm, you know, just keeping up on the AFC West stuff. But I have you and I both have a couple mutual friends in the Las Vegas media that we follow that are Raider coverage people. And again, there's a different vibe in the locker room. There's a different vibe at the practice field, at the stadium, the music, it's just a different vibe. And I think it's more when people say Gruden is a player's coach, I don't think that's far off, but I think it's more of a player's environment now out there. And again, that's just my opinion. I'm saying that from a 30,000 foot level, but from everybody that I see and what I talk about, you know, the vibe's different and that place is going to be rocking. You know, there's no doubt that place is going to be rocking. It'll be the first time in the same weekend that UNLV plays at home on artificial turf, and then the Raiders get rolled out the natural grass on the...
Oh, that's a good point.
So it'll be interesting.
That's a good
point.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I like the Raiders in this one, -3. I really do. The total 49. I could see this going under the total 49, but I do like the Raiders -3. I mean, even the money line, you're not having to pay too heavy of a vig. It's just -170 if you want to pick the Raiders to just win straight up. John, this has been great.
Let me give you.
Sure.
Yeah, you got time for one quick one here.
Absolutely.
I got one for you.
Yeah, go for it.
So check this out. So one NFL trend I wanted to throw out there to you guys is if you bet the Bears under any whatever their under number was in the first quarter, the first half, or the full game this season, you're 16-2.
Wow.
For the season to the under 15-0 the last five.
Wow.
So one of my NFL plays is Tampa Bay Chicago first half under 24.
Yeah,
that was my first play.
That's a great play because the total for the game's 47. I love that one.
Right. And then we have two games this week that feature double digit spreads or over 14 or more technically. Those teams are 21-9 against the spread, and then 10-19-1, 65% to the under. So my other play is the Rams under 50.5.
Ooh, all right. I like that. The Rams under 50.5. You've got Chicago, Tampa Bay under the first half total of 24. I like this. This is going to be a good weekend in NFL football. Of course, the Packers will make easy work of the Washington football team. We're all assured of that. John, thanks so much for everything today. This is great stuff, and I am looking at all of your information that you provided to us here. The John Denton special is going to be available for further dissection and sort of analysis of your own on our website, WKTYsports.com, 1 p.m. today. JD, have a great rest of your day. Again, congratulations. Next week, we'll christen you with even more platitudes and congratulations. But for now, from me to you, congrats, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.